Praise the Lord. Well, now, my voice is a little clearer than it was, but it's still not where it needs to be. So pray for me. I got two weddings coming up, and I need to hurry. So I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate Brother Connor's message this morning about really reaching out to the Lord and with a contrite heart, even to the point of tears. We used to do a lot more crying, I think. How many can see that, years ago, and we were, we'd get after it. But that's a good access point to the Lord, is to be so sorrowful that we come to tears in seeking Him and seeking His grace. I'm going to speak about mercy drops converted to mercy downpour. That is good, and it's also it takes effort to get that involved with any situation, but we know that there's enough going on in the world to where there's things to cry about, and there's things to be sorrowful about. Mercy it has been on my mind lately, and I'm not sure why, but the song "There Shall Be Showers of Blessing." And we need the showers of the mercy of God. Mercy drops can be all around us, but we need a bit more than that. And the difference between mercy and grace is the unmerited favor of God. And mercy is very similar to that in that it's the compassion and forgiveness of someone who has the power to punish or to hurt you. And so we know that God has all power. And there are other words that are similar to that. That's kindness, loving kindness, and pity, and other words that are just right in that same idea. And they're translated differently, maybe by different languages and different translations of the Bible. Mercy, for His mercy endureth forever, is repeated in the book of Psalms 136. 26 times in every verse. It is very important for us to have mercy endure forever. We need the mercy of God. It's in the English Bible, mercy is mentioned 341 times. I want to get started on this and start in the book of Matthew chapter 6, and this is the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to read as little as I can. Not because I don't want to strain my voice, but because I think it's better, if we give the real thought. But I'm tempted to read a lot of Scripture. I love to see the Word of God, and it's almost much better commentary than I could even render. Brother Connor, would you ask a blessing on the message today?
Father, we thank You for Your church. We thank You, Lord, for everyone here. We ask that You would anoint Brother Jim, and may our hearts be anointed to receive it. May we be better Christians for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, Jesus gives the example of how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just recently, I found a song that I really liked, and it's about the cross. It's not all about the prophecy is not all about the birth of Christ, but it's about the cross, and it's about our sin. Without the cross of Jesus Christ, we'd still be living in our sin. But he died so that he could show mercy to every one of us, and he could forgive us, and that he could show a compassion that would cleanse us completely. Our sins are gone. So when we come before the Father who has power to judge and condemn, and we say, forgive us our sins, he wipes them away and they're gone. And our other, the other things that are in our lives that also need help, our weaknesses, the things that we'd rather do this rather than seek the Lord, we'd rather put something else in front of him. And he's able to give us ability in everything to serve him perfectly. He's able to enhance our lives. I want to see another example of mercy in Psalms 51. And this is the one that I could just read the whole thing, but I'm going to try to be, give you a little bit of the word, because I want to share a story in just a moment. Verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O Lord.
Yes.
O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And we've already read quite a bit about David seeking the mercy of God. Now this, right there in the explanation of this chapter, it's a prayer of repentance. Number one, that's the title of it. And then to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now we understand that him going into Bathsheba was a terrible and awful sin that David had committed, and because of that sin, it provoked him to another sin of having Uriah put in a dangerous place, and her husband, and having him pretty much left to die. And David was an adulterer and a murderer. When he comes before the Lord and he says, have mercy upon me, O God, there's a lot of reason for that. Now, David was also the king. He could have had Nathan put to death for what he told him. But David chose not to sweep it under the carpet, not to just forget about it, not to just say, well, that doesn't matter, I'm the king, I can do anything. But David chose to deal with what the prophet told him and to come under a heavy heart of seeking God for forgiveness. This David had a heart after God. This is why. It's because rather than being full of ego and full of self, he chose to humble his heart before both the prophet that delivered the message. Isaiah and Jeremiah would love to have seen such tender-hearted kings. They didn't see that. And they saw a few that were good, but not with that much of a tenderness before God. And so David said, blot out my transgressions. Transgressions were great, but the mercy of God was even greater. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. If without acknowledging the sin, it doesn't do any good. And it doesn't matter how great the sin is. David's were great, but God was able to touch him and bring deliverance to him because he was willing to submit his heart before the Lord and ask for God's mercy. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy of gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. God didn't break bones, physical bones, but he touched David in a place to where David really, I imagine he'd rather had broken bones than what he was going through with the conviction of God. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. And I like I think it's verse 10, small print. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And on down a little more in verse 14, the latter part, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will show forth your praise. And then 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And we'll leave the rest of it to you to read when you get ready to and when you want to. But I like the progression of what David comes into. He seeks the Lord with a completely broken and humbled spirit, broken down, the King of Israel. And yet he knew how to humble before God and be contrite, be sorrowful for what he had done. And in doing that, he could feel the restoration of the Lord. I've talked a lot about restoration because I believe that there are people who have hit something in life that really need a miracle to come back just to be where they were before, whether it's a stroke like Mike and other things that he's endured. And what, like Sister Melva, one night something happened and everybody's scratching their head saying, we don't know what happened, but we do know this, that God is the restorer of all conditions, and he that can take away sin can touch this body in every way that we need to be touched. He can touch our lives. There are situations that come up we never thought we'd see in our life with our families and with work and all. There's just a lot of things that we don't know what to do. So we seek the Lord with a broken heart and throw ourselves upon his mercy. There's a lot of the saying of throwing yourself upon the mercy of the court. You got to watch out what the court is, because there may not be that mercy. But when we're talking about a loving God that cares for you so deeply, you can throw yourself on his mercy. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you out in your weakness. He'll build you up. And so I believe strongly in restoration. It's almost like, Lord, give us, projects. And he has. He has. He's given us people that we're close to that need restoration and strength. Once David felt the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord again, he began to praise God. And that's the way of David as well. And it's a good thing for us too. I thought about, well, Lord, isn't singing the way to get all blessings from you? And I didn't hear the Lord say, sure. Well, maybe praise, Lord. And I believe in praise and singing and prayer and all, but to seek his mercy, to realize that it's not what we've done or who we are, but how merciful God is that gets us the answers that we want from him. Let's go to another scripture in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I thought of these verses and I thought, wow, but the words are just perfect to what we want to speak about. Verse 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I was praying the other day and I said, Lord, thank you for not sinning, because if you had sinned, you couldn't help me. He suffered and he put away all sin. People have accused the Lord of all manner of sins, all kinds of sins. Why do they do that? Because they can't accept the fact that he was perfect. He lived a perfect life. But he lived that perfect life so he could help us from our struggles. And there's a lot of people that are just bound with different situations today of drug addiction or drinking and all kinds of situations in life to where all they can do is obsess over these things. If the Lord had sinned, he couldn't help. But he did not sin. He lived perfect. He denied the flesh. He denied all that would have been easier and going along with the flow and all of that so that he could deliver us today and that we could obtain mercy. So yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I like that word grace as well. That's a wonderful word. The throne of grace. The door was thrown open when Jesus died on the cross. The Holy of Holies opened up, and there everyone can come into that most holy place. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So thank God that He saves us. Thank God that He erases our sins. And thank God that if we sin after we've accepted Him, that He can forgive that as well. But any situation, any need that we have, our sickness, our struggles, our relationships, whatever it is, we can come boldly before the Lord. And because He lived righteously and perfectly, we can come and seek Him. Now, it starts off that we have a great high priest who can sympathize because he was tempted. Because it wasn't like he never had the temptation, but it is that he rejected all the temptations. When the devil came to him and wanted to lift him up, Jesus said, I'm not going to be lifted up by you. But oh, how he desires to be lifted up by the church. And he said to the church, if you lift me up, I'll draw men unto me. What a challenge we have today to lift him up, lift him higher. So our gateway to bigger things in the Lord is his mercy. Not our goodness, not our faith, not our way of saying words or the way of praying a prayer. It's the mercy of God that we come under and that we realize it's all because of him. So it's all about the Lord Jesus. A while back, Debbie and I were watching a broadcast on one of the gospel stations, and we the one that we were watching was over, and the next one came on, and it's a guy in, I think, Oklahoma. And he and his wife pretty much are saying that unless you have this prayer shawl from Israel, you can't reach God. Then you have another guy comes on, unless you send me $33. I think that's his number. Used to be higher, but he's lowered it. Unless you send me $33, you can't find the... And I've told you before of Robert Tilton. How many of you remember Robert Tilton? He was a preacher out of Dallas. I lived in Austin at the time. I was so broke, I didn't have money to put in the gas in the car to go to Dallas. If I had, I'd have gone and wrung his neck. Because he was preaching, and one morning he said, now look, this blessing is only for people who send me $1,000. This blessing is only for them. And if you don't have $1,000, this blessing is not for you. And I've heard others do the same thing. They try to make it to where they've got the key. But there is no key, folks, other than the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Robert Tilton, that made his big start by selling the eye hole things that you put in a door. And he was a salesman while he was a preacher, but it would have been better if he would have let them know that the Holy of Holies is open. You don't have to send him anything. And you don't have to send me anything. You don't have to send anyone anything. All you need to do is go before the throne of grace, where the mercy of the Lord is being poured out all the time. It's about the Lord. I was at Donnie and Audrey's last night. We were attending a block party that their neighbor has spent. Audrey said they started talking about it a year ago, but he spent a good couple of weeks getting ready, marking the street. He built a stage for his band that came, and then he had a DJ after that. They had food, and I'll tell you what, those ribs were the best. I really like those ribs. Debbie liked the tri-tip. I mean, it was a wonderful feast. He has a pool in his backyard, and we went over, and Claire and Evan were in the pool, and they were enjoying themselves. Beautiful pool. It's really, 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 really nice. I forgot where I was going to go with that.
You were going to give me some of those ribs.
I wish that I could give you some of those ribs. Now I remember. Thank you, Brother Connor. There was a lady dancing, and I looked, and she had something in her hand. She was dancing, and I'm thinking, that looks like a golf club. And then I looked at it, why would you dance with a golf club? Looked a little closer, and what it was a stick with a phone on the end of it. You know what she was doing? She was dancing, and she was doing a selfie.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, I've already said what I think about selfies, so...
Say it again.
I'm afraid to, because I know somebody gives those as gifts, those sticks. And Debbie did one of us when we went to see Finding Dory. That was a highlight of the movie, I think, us doing a selfie. But it's not about self. Although we live in a self-absorbed time, it's not about self. It's all about Jesus. One of our worship songs says it's not about, you know, me, not about what I can do, but it's about you. And it should be that. And we should realize that everything that we get is not because of any good thing that we have done, only the mercy, the tenderness of our Lord. Scripture, Jesus said, I've come. He actually said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Ephesians 3 has been one of my favorites for ever since I could hear the Word of God, read the Word of God. And it says, now to him that is able to do exceeding... I like when it ends with li, exceedingly, abundantly. That's good. I mean, that's big words. It's big words. It's something that I can't offer to anybody. I can only do so much. But he can do exceedingly and abundantly above. My goodness. You know, people ask crazy things. I know I've put the Lord to the test, and he's probably thinking, don't ask me that again. But, I mean, I've reached out to him in some ways. But he can do above that all that we ask or think. Sometimes we're bold to ask, but we're thinking more. But he can take care of it all. But there's a little bit of a condition. According to the power that is working in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So if we want to obtain these things, if we want to get, then we're going to get through the mercy of the Lord. We're going to get because he loves us so much that he lived perfectly so that he could die horribly, so that it could rise again in power according to the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I to quicken our mortal, subject yet to death, bodies. So what we get is of his mercy and of his tenderness. Restoration to people who are devastated by whatever God is able to give. I heard a story this morning on Schweigert's program, and it was Donnie preaching. Donnie's a little annoying to me. He's an arrogant little rascal, or maybe not so little. Might be a pretty good-sized guy, but anyway, he's annoying in his arrogance. But he told a story this morning that I thought, and for the most part, I think he preaches pretty well, and he gets on the message and does that well, but I don't know. I remember people as I was growing up preaching with the same arrogant attitude, and I didn't care for them much at the time either. Since then, I've changed a little bit. And if I was arrogant, I apologize with everything that's within me. That's awful. Story is about a guy named William Cowper, who was a poet in England in 1700s. And he was in Paris and on the river there, and he was thinking of committing suicide. Nothing seemed to be going right with him. Matter of fact, he had tried to commit suicide a couple times before that. And he heard a voice that said, no, this is not what I have in store for you. And so he didn't commit suicide in Paris. He went back to England, and he was just desperate. Matter of fact, he spent some time in an insane asylum because he was just so troubled and so vexed. And he called for some help, and he was directed to John Newton. How many knows who John Newton is? He's not the guy that invented Fig Newtons. That's Nabisco, I believe. Anyway, John Newton was the man that was a slave trader and the captain of the slave ship that wrote Amazing Grace. And William Cooper was talking to John Newton and saying, I don't think the Lord can save me. I've done so much that's vile and so much that's so wrong. And he went on to relate that John Newton said, look, he said, you have nothing on me. He said, the things that I have done to humanity, the things that I, and I read a little bit about John Newton and found out that he was left in Africa for a while after being a slave trader, as a slave or a servant to the slaves. I mean, he had some rough days, and he had done awful things, and to most of the people there in Africa, he probably appeared to be a crazy man at that time. But he said, "Don't tell me that the mercy of God cannot reach into your life." He said, "Because He saved a wretch like me." Now we're used to that. I remember there's a couple of songs like that one. And during the 80s, people were trying to change the wretch part. And the song says, such as a worm, such as I, trying to change the worm. Leave it there. Because we are wretches and we are worms. And there's no reason in the world to get out of a position where God can help you. God could save John Newton after all he had done. And God could save William Cooper after all he had done. And this Cooper is spelled C-O-W-P-E-R. If you want to look up some things of his life, he wrote a few songs too.
Yes, he did.
One of them was The Blood. Let me see. There is a Fountain Filled with Blood.
Yes.
And he also wrote a song. I've got it right here. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea, and He rides upon the storm. And a lot of people thought that was scripture. It was so close to what helps us out. He also has a quote, wisdom is humble that knows he knows no more. Variety is the spice of life that gives it all its flavor. Nature is a good name for the effect whose cause is God. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. The darkest days, if you live till tomorrow, will have passed away. Absence from whom we love is worse than death and frustrates hope severer than despair. Glory built on selfish principles is shame and guilt. Man may dismiss compassion from his heart, but God never will. And God made the country and man made the town. So he wrote many other songs. He had other things that he did for the Lord. And that a lot of it came after he had met with John Newton. You know, both of these men had severe situations come against them. But they both found the Lord through His mercy. And no one comes because of how good they are. I remember years ago, Brother Smith preached a sermon about writing a letter. And it was speaking of Naaman, who was a captain of the army, and how the king wrote a letter saying, you know, you need to pray for this guy. And he sent it to the king of either Israel or Judah. And he said, you need to do what you can. I know you have prophets there and he needs help. And so they sent him, and I believe it's Elijah that got this one. And they sent him to Elijah, and Elijah wouldn't even come out. This guy said, I've got lots of stuff for you. You need to come out here. And Elijah sent his servant, said, go dip yourself in Jordan 7 times. And so he did dip himself, after fussing about it, he dipped himself in Jordan. And then he was healed, And he went back and victorious, and then the servant went after the money and said, hey, he's changed his mind. I'll take what you've gotten. And for his lying and betraying the prophet, he came up with leprosy. But and there's a good song written about that. I'm going down to the river of Jordan. And it's, but the king wrote a letter. And Brother Smith's sermon was, a lot of times we start praying for people, we start writing a letter. Lord, and I know I've done that. Sister Melva's a great example. She's done so much. And ministered and written poems and delivered them with such grace and a loving heart at funerals. But we don't need to write a letter, because it's not about what she's done. It's about God and His mercy. And so when we pray, you know, everybody's on the same footing. We all need the mercy of God. And whether it's the sinner that needs to come to the Lord after being as hateful and as ornery, how many know there are hateful and ornery people out there? I mean, we're insulated in the church and the house of God. There's some ornery people out there, and they need Jesus. They need mercy. Sister Melvin and others. And it's easy when you're looking at praying for a man like Brother G. He's done so much in the Pentecost Church of God, and so much giving and loving, and he's brought a really, I don't know, kind of a great spirit to what he's done for people. He's a smart man, delivered wonderful messages, and he has a great heart. But he needs the mercy like anyone else, and it's not about what he's done. It's about the mercy of God that loves him. Brother Allen, the same, and many others that we pray for. All we need to do is trust the mercy of God, who is able to forgive sin and change every part of life that we might need. Now, the word repent means to feel contrite for, regret, to be penitent for, and determined to change for the better. And even as we repent, we don't have the power to do anything until the mercy of God fills our hearts and lives, and He gives us the ability. Amen. Benefits of repentance. This is from a sermon I did in 2000, not the first part, but from repent down. I did it in 2013. Does anybody remember it? Good. Debbie said yes, but I don't know. I'd have to examine that. Benefits of repentance are salvation. Of repentance are salvation. Constant walk with the Lord enhanced, and revival in the land. We need revival in our land. We need the mercy of God to touch this country. It means that our prayers have been heard, our praise and thanksgiving received, and worship then becomes a supernatural experience. Debbie, you left me early. I was going to hum their showers of blessing. Why don't you come back? And I'm not going to hum it now. I'm through. But I'm going to read to you some of the words of this, "There shall be showers of blessing." And don't trick me with another song. You know how easy I am confused. "There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead." In other words, we want more mercy, Lord. And a little drop or two is not enough. I remember in Texas, they talked about hailstorms. We didn't, you know, that's just talk. You know how those Texans are. They blow everything up. And then we were in a hailstorm. And the hails were about that big, and they were beating up on the cars and everything, and we became believers. Yeah. We weren't wanting a hailstorm. We wanted, you know, we could take the rain, but those hail were rough, and they had one as big as a baseball just a few miles away. "Well, there shall be showers of blessing, precious, reviving again over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come now and honor your word. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. One more. There shall be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing if we let God have his way. How many could use a refreshing? You know, you turn on the news, and the other day I watched the internet. I have a little headline thing up on my computer, and I put it on. And I said, okay, I get that there was something that, you know, terrible that happened in France. And then right away there was something else that happened in Turkey, and it's all over the world. If we're not living in the last days, I've never seen anything that looks exactly like that. And as we are living in the last days, we need the mercy of God in our lives. Jimmy Swaggart wrote us, sang a song. I don't think he wrote it. I think Mike Murdoch might have wrote it. But it said, "Mercy rewrote my life. For years I traveled a road all wrong. My heart had lost its joy and its song. Till grace placed me right where I belonged, when mercy rewrote my life." And then the chorus is, "Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. I could have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. My mistakes, God turned into miracles." Sometimes we get down and we're discouraged, but God can change that. "Then my past was forgiven and my new name was written, when mercy rewrote my life." Praise God. We're going to do something a little different tonight. Normally we have you come and stand. How about if you just sit where you're at? Because I know after sitting through a service, sometimes it's hard to stand up and it's more comfortable sitting down. But let me tell you, the Lord wants to bring refreshment to Campbell, to Calvary Temple, to the whole area, to the whole nation, to the whole world. Jesus died for these things. It's paid for. Wouldn't it be awful if so many just don't receive what the Lord has already got bought and paid for? Let's seek the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we pray that your mercy will fall upon every one of us. You see what needs that we have. I pray, Lord, that you'll meet our needs, that you'll strengthen our lives. There may be questions that we have. Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do at the point that I'm at in life? What can I do? And I pray, Lord, that you'll refresh us with a purpose, Lord, and a calling, that we can pray. We can show concern. We can have compassion. We can show mercy to people who are looking to us for that. I pray, Lord, that we will forgive those who sin against us as we seek you for forgiveness for our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll minister to need, that you'll supply, that you'll abundantly take care of our needs as we are obedient and tithing and loving and giving to you. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to anything that is an obstacle to us, that you'll bring it down like a great mountain, Lord, flattened. We pray in Jesus' name. Lord, that we feel your spirit every day. That every day, Lord, we feel what would make us cry and what would make us rejoice and what would make us laugh in you. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister to those who are around us that we love and care for. I pray for Michael, Lord, that you'll minister mercy to his life. For Sister Melva, oh God, mercy in her life. Restoration, dear Lord. And Lord, I don't know what's wrong, and I don't care to know what's wrong. I want you to show mercy for that family, for Judy Pierce. Oh God, we pray mercy for Brother G, your mercy. For Brother Allen, Lord, your mercy, your strength. For all those who are hurting. Lord, there's families that are hurting, and I pray mercy in those families. Mercy, oh God. Renew, Lord, and revive our faith and our trust. And let us realize it's really just leaning on you. Help us. Help us, Lord. We look to you. We look to no other. There's no other help. As the disciples said, where are we going to go? You alone have the words that are life We come to you for life tonight through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through your great love, through your power, through, Lord, our calling to be a church. We pray blessing upon our church, your Spirit, Lord, to enliven us and to pick us up. Lord, souls coming to you in this place. And Lord, others that are drawn here to do a work and to be a help to those that are here now. Bring your strength, dear Jesus. Fill us with your hope. Fill us with your power. Because we need you. We can't go and we can't do without you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him for a minute. Just love him. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you glory because you're looking out for us. Even when we're not paying attention, you're looking out for us. And I pray your blessing. Holy God, bless and strengthen. Bless and strengthen. Bring those rewards. Lord Jesus, you said you would show us things that we had no idea. I pray for that revelation. I pray for that encouragement. And Lord, I pray that your love will just flow so abundantly in our life. We honor you. Let our praise, to you be a sign to people all around, Lord, how we love you and how your presence is so set upon us as a church. We love you, Jesus. Bless those who are traveling. Be strength to each and every one. I pray for blessing upon your people, Lord, blessings that aren't expected. And I pray, Lord, that your strength and your mercy will just renew us. Oh, you're holy. Oh, Lord, you're holy. Make us holy like you. And renew, Lord, that spirit, steadfast spirit. And let the Holy Ghost be so alive. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything we see, show us your tenderness. Lord, we love you tonight. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.